its current state on WKAR, from Battle Creek to Flint, from Metro Detroit to the UP, the history of cars and commerce in Michigan runs deep. It's a big part of Jay Follis's life. Follis is director of marketing at Hickory Springs' world-renowned Gilmore Car Museum and author of the recent Michigan History magazine article, Agents of Change, Michigan's Early Car Dealers. Jay's fascination with car culture began as a boy growing up in Michigan and continues with his current writing and research. Though familiar with much of American motor lore, Jay found that the picture of early Michigan dealers and sales was kind of hazy.
It's most difficult to find the folks that are still in business today. They're the oldest. And the problem for that is that, you know, you always hear the jokes about car dealers, right? And you think, oh, I can't trust a car dealer. Well, not that I would necessarily say that's true, but there was a lot of claims made that as I looked into it, I thought, well, that claim can't be true. You know, one claim was that they were the oldest, and well, actually there are about six dealers before them that are still in business. Another one was they were the very first Cadillac dealer signed. Well, that's interesting because they were claiming they were signed 2 years before Cadillac even began.
Well, take us back to when we first as a nation started to get an idea about what this might look like at the Columbian Exposition in Chicago in 1893. Can you kind of set the scene there and what was this curiosity?
Oh, yeah, that's, you know, the Columbia Exposition, this was a world fair in Chicago. It's the, you know, big white city. And the transportation building was a 17-acre exhibit. I mean, this included, you know, the newest and best trains and Pullman cars. And you know, White Star Line and different ship companies had an exhibit there for their ships. And it was all different carriages and bicycles. And it was supposed to be, this is what's new and upcoming as far as transportation. So they had the largest steam locomotives and, you know, the best horse-drawn wagon you could buy. And people were just enthralled with it all. That's one of the areas that was so popular. But what happened is, in a corner, they had a little car back there that most people walked right on by. And it was the first automobile. It was a Benz, Delmer Benz quadricycle, which is a four-wheel, they call it a cycle. It's four wheels because it basically had bicycle-type wheels on it. It was a gasoline-powered car. And it was the first one shown in the United States, and most people walked right on past it. And really, when you think about it, our auto industry, while it started, you know, in the early, let's say the early 1900s, people really didn't buy cars and get out there and really start moving until, oh, I'd say 1912, 1913. Model T has now been produced for 4 or 5 years. You're starting to see roads throughout the state open that are decent. You've got the Michigan Pike, which is on, today it's 31. It runs from the state line clear up to Mackinac, and it runs along the west coast of Michigan. And that was really kind of a championed by a lot of people that had automobiles that thought, we just need decent roads and we can get more people to visit our state. So the industry started picking up around that time frame, and it also was a time frame, especially in 1913, when people could start afford to buy a vehicle. Before that, it was just people looked at it as a fad. You know, this is going to be an expensive car or expensive thing, and it's just a passing fad. And they were pretty expensive to start with. So when you really look at it that way, the early automobile that they walked right on past, 1893, I guess isn't too surprising.
Jay Follis is a writer, historian, director of marketing at the Gilmore Car Museum in Hickory Corners near Kalamazoo. He's author of the recent Michigan History magazine article, Agents of Change, Michigan's Early Car Dealers. That's what we're talking about today on Current State. That's an incredible sight to imagine, 17 acres of all kinds of transportation, that type of size that you could compare to the North American International Auto Show. I mean, that's a lot of exposition space, but just, as you say, a little corner was taken up by the horseless carriage.
Yeah, I think that it was one of those things that people didn't give it a lot of thought. And even if we go to, you know, an auto show in New York or Detroit or Chicago, any of the huge auto shows, you're exactly right. When you think 17 acres were dedicated to transportation, and it wasn't just the transportation. The World's Fairs really were designed to show you the future, to show you what was the up and coming. And so to think that this had a vehicle that was a horseless carriage, but it didn't catch anybody's attention, and wasn't any space dedicated to it. Now, I shouldn't say it didn't catch anybody's attention. Obviously, it caught some people's attention, but not like you would expect.
Speaking of the horseless carriage idea, let's touch on a place in Michigan from which automobiles and automobile dealers grew out of. And these are places like general stores, buggy stores. I mean, there's your horseless carriage there, the buggy. And the names of Schaefer and Beerline. Take us there.
Yeah, Schaefer Beerline is actually, when I started researching just to discover who is the oldest automobile dealership, Schaefer and Beerline out of Frankenmuth, today they're a Chrysler dealer. That was one of the companies that I came across. I thought, wow, these folks have been around for a long time. They actually started in 1852, and they were a blacksmith shop, woodworking shop, typical of, you know, every community had to have one. This is where you'd go to have your horses shoed. If you had the wagon wheel break, they would fix it. You know, you had cabinetry made there. That's the kind of business this was. Every community had one. Well, they started 1852, and actually there was a manufacturer of later vehicles that we think of as Studebaker, actually started around that same time frame. So I was hoping that maybe they were selling Studebakers, but I didn't find any evidence of that. But in around 1914, this company had been through the family, kept trading, you know, down to the grandsons, the son to the great-grandson and the grandfathers, you know, all these people working over the decades. And eventually one of the young men that was the third generation said, hey, you know, this car that is gone from the horse's carriage now, the Model T is out, and this car that Henry Ford is selling, the Model T, is really going to be huge. I think I need to go and learn a little bit how to work on these things, and maybe we should get that as a add-on to our company. And so they sent him to a little class where he learned how to work on cars, and they ended up becoming a Ford dealer in 1914. So they added it. Kind of funny just to think of that time frame. They looked at it and thought, yeah, the Ford's selling really good, but we think this other company is going to do far better. And that was Willys Overland. So they dropped Ford, became a Willys Overland dealer. In the 30s, it became a Dodge Chrysler or a Dodge Plymouth Chrysler dealer, and that's what they are today, as a Chrysler dealer. But it's interesting when you really look at some of these early dealers, they're not what you think of like today, where you have multi-dealerships and the beautiful showrooms and all that. They usually were added on to a business that already existed. And some great examples of that are, you know, you see these dealers would be selling bicycles. And so because they're already selling a type of transportation, or maybe they're selling buggies and harnesses for farmers, you know, and farm equipment, that maybe they would add a line for automobile. And that's how a lot of them got started. They just looked at it as an extra. And it's really was kind of interesting as I traveled through looking for different history and trying to find the story of who's the oldest and where'd they come from. I came across several that were dealers in some oddball things, at least it seemed oddball at the time. One dealer sold bicycles, typewriters, Kodak cameras, as well as Oldsmobiles and Cadillacs.
What a mix.
Yeah, another one that I thought was hilarious was a general store that advertised dry goods, groceries, furniture, hardware, funeral home, and Fords.
Wow.
And so you look at it and you think, all right, these people didn't set out thinking this is the one thing I'm going to sell. They looked at it as this is kind of a sideline. So in those early days, it made a lot of sense for a company that was already dealing with repairing horses and buggies to go into something like the automobile.